Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our ever-present Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For our further consideration, Acts chapter 7, I want to repeat the words of Stephen. Look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Lord, guide us in truth. Your word is truth. Dear Christian friends, they stood on a hill of victory. All the gathered people stared in wonder and amazement as Jesus taught them a lesson. How they must have reveled in the joy of that moment, seeing the slain Lord stand before them and bless him with another teaching. The smiles on their faces, both his and theirs, must have split their faces like the morning sun splits the sky. Joy was most definitely seen, heard, and felt on top of that mountain. And then the clouds rolled in, and they covered him. Jesus ascended into the heavens and was hidden from their view. Like standing in the middle of a beautiful meadow full of flowers on a warm summer day to suddenly in the middle of a wintry, barren wasteland. The light was gone. The joy was gone. And then the questions and the fear stepped quietly and boldly into place. Those gathered on the Mount of Olives now stared in a new wonder and in question as they were then alone on the mount with so much left to do. What was next? Undoubtedly, in those days following the ascension, the disciples felt alone. They likely felt isolated and lost, and that's very much a feeling which is common to mankind. In fact, I would wager all of the money in my pocket that each and every one of us has felt that way. Our children have shown it to us when they cry out in the middle of the night. And in fact, our own hearts have revealed that. In moments of great stress and pain, we feel that we are alone, that we alone can do the work, and that no one else understands. And then very likely a certain form of depression comes in. In its own way, various forms, be it hiding in the house with all the curtains drawn, or be it putting on a happy mask and running out to be the center of attention wherever you might be. These are all a reaction to that deep pit of loneliness that lives in our hearts. How those moments have come at us for the last 12, 14 months. Each day's report leaves us wondering, what is next? They stood at the front of the church at a service of achievement. They had completed the rigorous testings and the basics of the tenets of faith. They were all prepared. They had studied and examined. They had memorized and they had questioned. And then they went before the gathering of family and friends for the confirmation. In those moments, they felt the love of God. There were nerves there, yeah, definitely, but so was the assurance that the faith that they professed is what was taught in Scripture. It was a moment of true joy. And then the service was over. And the parties commenced. The holy setting was finished, and there was this hollowness or this void that suddenly found itself there. In the midst of all this joy and excitement and wonder, there still remained this question of what is life going to hold? What is next? Stephen stood amongst the 11. It was a moment of great importance. So much had been going on in the Holy Land with Jesus coming and preaching and then dying and then coming back to life and then ascending into heaven. Wow. Yet this was a moment that Stephen would not forget. He was to be the first of the seven chosen to work the ministry amongst the people in the land. It was a moment of great joy, a responsibility to be sure, but a joyful one. He was to be confirmed in his faith and begin his work. And in Acts chapter 7, it took the span of one sentence for things to change. The phrase "opposition arose" follows so quickly after the statement that the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly that your head wants to spin. Stephen was seized by the Sanhedrin and he was grilled. He was accused of preaching against Moses and indeed of preaching against God himself. But in response, Stephen preached a sermon that takes up almost the whole of chapter 7, 53 of the 60 verses. After hearing his statement of faith and conviction of the law, the Sanhedrin grabbed him and dragged him out of the city to be killed. What must have been going through his head at that moment? How he must have felt in those moments, staring into the faces of people so full of rage and hatred that they wanted to end him. Gone were the loving arms of the other seven. Gone were the fine words in support of the direct disciples of Jesus. At that moment, it seemed it was simply Stephen against the world. Now, that might seem like a bit of an overstatement, but haven't you ever walked into a room where you know you're not supposed to be there? You're definitely not welcome. You stand there and you look around for a familiar face, and when that's not being found, you're just looking for somebody who's showing some care and concern, and when that fails, all you see are faces as cold as stone. And then from the pit of your stomach, that feeling of being totally alone. And it haunts the back of your mind. That feeling of not wanting to be alone, it encourages you to do the things that you know you should not be doing. And then in a twisted way, that same feeling comes back at you at night and says, you didn't do as you were supposed to. You aren't who you claim to be. And because you were wrong, you can never be what you want to be. All thoughts that swirl around this ever-present idea of being alone. What a beautiful lie. And not beautiful in the sense that it's a good thing or it's something that we want to look at, but it's beautiful because it's so simple and yet does so much devastation. It's beautiful like an atom bomb. This lie of loneliness, it took the disciples and put them in a locked room. And it has taken our children and our acquaintances and left them removed from regular interactions with God's Word and with fellow believers. That beautiful lie of being alone makes us worry about what comes next for those confirmands, thinking about all the wickedness that they will experience. In fact, it has taken us and filled us with the idea that it is just us to such a degree that we sometimes think that we might need to introduce ourselves when we pray. Kind of like Archie Bunker used to do in that old show of All in the Family. When he looks up and says, "Dear God, A. Bunker here. Maybe I need to pray, "Dear God, Jay Bockhaus here," not the older bald one, and not the girl. I'm the middle one with the beard. Like he doesn't know who I am. Because what's been going on in my life for the last 2 weeks, that's pretty evident that he's not around. He doesn't know. He's not participating. He doesn't care. I'm all alone. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever looked in the mirror and seen the shadows under and behind your eyes? Have you ever sat in the dark and cradled your head in your hands? Have you ever held your sleeping child in your arms or in prayer and felt the tears of fear roll down your face? If you haven't, you will. And if you have, you might again. But that's not the end of the image. That is the power of a lie working, because there is a better truth working to combat that image. He hung on the frame of death. His skin was hanging off of his body. It was barely attached. And the fatigue that racked him caused him to hang limply. And trickles of blood that came from the thorn holes in his head made his eyes sting. Yet he remained. As the Son of God, he truly had the power to come off of that cross and save himself. Yet in his weakened state, he took a breath and said, "It is finished." He gave up his spirit and settled accounts for the world. Not for the dirt, not for the moss, not for the trees, but for you. For me. For our neighbors. And then on that Easter morning, he took his life back up, proving that his sacrifice was pleasing in the eyes of God. And it was enough that when our time comes, we will be able to walk into perfection for Jesus' sake. He knelt in the rocky dirt outside of the city. He had been arguing all day. He had proclaimed the law of God and the truth of Jesus. And in a wonderful moment, Stephen had lifted his eyes and saw Jesus standing in his place of power over all creation. When his enemies heard that, they dragged him out here to this stony patch, and rocks flew. In that moment, which we would totally understand feeling completely lost and alone, he saw Jesus. In the moment where he should have felt the most abandoned, the most alone, and the most terrified, instead he felt the most loved. He felt the most assured. He felt the very presence of God. Stephen was able to go to his destiny as the first martyr with faith in Jesus in his heart and the words of Jesus on his lips as he prayed for their forgiveness. He knew. He was convinced in his deepest heart that Jesus was with him at that moment. He was able to live as he was directed to by the Holy Spirit because he knew that he was not alone. They sat in their chairs. They heard the words of that guy standing up front as he prattled on and on. Some of them idly read the wonderful bulletin or checked the kitchen to see how the coffee was doing. They half listened to the words that he said, but they wondered how it applied to their lives. I've got this going on. I've got this need. I've got real world stresses. Jesus knows. Jesus reminds us in his prayer from the gospel today that they are not of the world. We are not of the world. We are made holy in the Word of God. We are made different in the faith which the Holy Spirit has sprung to life in us. We can look at the stresses and the fears and indeed the angers of this day, and instead of being pulled away from God's Word, instead of being pulled away from fellow believers, we can reach out. We can deny the lie of loneliness. We deny the power of isolation. We can look at the very Word of God which Jesus gave us and see the truth for what it is. Proverbs tells us the Lord works out everything to his own ends. And our oh-so-favorite passage in Romans tells us that God works all things to the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. And Jesus told us right before his ascension, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. These are the words and feelings of value. These are the things to trust. Jesus, my friends, is still here. He's in his position of power, organizing all things to his glory, and yet he's still beside us. He is with us. He has promised to be there wherever two or three have gathered in his name. He has given us his word that we may know him better. He has given his very body and blood that we may know his presence as a real thing in our lives. And he has done all of this to combat that all too tempting lie of isolation and loneliness. You have never been alone. You have never been in a place where God has not seen you. You have never been in a place where Jesus has not loved you. You will never have to introduce yourself to God. He will and has commanded all of his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. I keep failing to keep this at the front of my mind. I have been very overworked the last few days, as I'm sure many of you are. And as I wrote this sermon, and I got to see in the worst possible moment, Stephen seeing Jesus with him, it reminded me, look for Jesus. Jesus has blessed me in so many ways. He's not going to abandon me to the tremors of the world. And he has blessed you in so many ways. Whether you see it or not, whether you're going through a dark season of life and you're just waiting for God to reveal it, he will in his time. But he is blessing you right now. Because he's with you right now. He is giving you his presence in his word, in his communion, and empowering you right now to defy the world because it knows nothing. Dear friends, cling to Jesus because he is everything. Only Jesus is with you all of the time. Only Jesus knows you fully. And only Jesus gives every good and perfect gift. They gathered together 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. And the rushing of wind and the tongues of fire, the promise of Jesus was kept. He had sent his helper, and the disciples were blessed. Stephen was blessed with the awareness of Jesus as he lived and as he died. We are blessed. We are made aware of Jesus' presence among us in ways that we can taste and touch, in ways that we can hear and see, ways that we can understand, and also in the more complicated ways that we can't understand. But we have his promise. He is with us. He has kept his promises from one cover of the Bible to the other. Why would he stop now? He hasn't. He won't. Jesus sits on his throne in our waiting heavenly home, but he is also here with us. So we can approach all the what's next of life, holding firmly on to the truth that Jesus is still here. Amen.